The Who sang My Generation at the Monterey Pop Festival in 1967. And the lyrics are one of rebellion and outcry, particularly some of the lines. The one that has always struck me is, "Things they do look awfully cold. I hope I die before I get old." Now, that was The Who in 1967. They're still singing the song, even though they've gotten old. But it was part of an expression of the late 60s and the feelings of rebelliousness and tie-dye shirts and student politics and power to the people, things that seem awfully old from the perspective of 2004. Well, imagine, if you will, this concept, my generation, people in college in the 1960s, late 1960s, identifying with this, and let's fast forward. Okay, it's now 2001, 34 years later. The oldest baby boomers are just turning age 55. The AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons, is anxiously looking forward to these baby boomers joining the age groups that can have membership in the AARP. Now, the last thing that any self-respecting baby boomer wanted to do was to join the AARP. That was our parents' organization. Their magazine, for pity's sake, was called Modern Maturity. It dealt with issues that had nothing to do with us. It was for old people. Well, faced with this dilemma, AARP came out with a new magazine called My Generation. The links to The Who's song were very intentional. Those early issues featured articles with titles such as The Dead Dylan and Dr. John, New Releases from Some Cool Old Dudes, and work-related articles such as Evaluating Early Retirement Offers, and then finally, the nemesis of every aging generation, How to Keep Your Skin Young and Supple. Even though your head may be in the 60s, your skin has long since passed. Marketing to generations can be very difficult. My generation folded within 2 years after its initial issue, and AARP came up with a new magazine to try to appeal to a broader audience. The appeal of My Generation was just too narrow to make it a successful project for them. Baby boomers were not the first clearly identified generation. Long before The Who sang My Generation, Gertrude Stein, American literary figure, identified her compatriots, Ernest Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald, that group of literary figures who were living in Paris in the 1920s and 1930s, as the lost generation. This term, the lost generation, then came to have wider application. It referred to a generation of Americans who came of age during World War I. These were the folks who were born between 1883 and 1900. Another famous American generation is the GI generation, celebrated by Tom Brokaw in his book, The Greatest Generation. The folks who came of age during World War II, both those who served overseas as well as the ones who mounted the home effort during the war. Okay, I've talked about three generational groups so far: the lost generation, the GI generation, and the baby boomers. What makes a group a generation? How do we delineate the beginning, the end, and identify them as unique from people, members of a different generation? First and foremost, a generation comprises people born within a relatively short period of time, perhaps as few as a half dozen years, perhaps as many as 20 years. So they share a common interval, time period for their births. In addition, It's the shared values that a defining event gives meaning to them at a critical point in their life. Certainly the GI generation is sort of the archetypical generation that an experience such as World War II in the young adult phase of their life gave shape to their values and attitudes and behaviors that they carried with them throughout the rest of their life. There is no uniform agreement as to exactly when a generation begins or ends or what to call the generation. Different analysts have different points in time. There's probably more agreement regarding the beginning of the baby boom because of the rapid increase in births that took off. But when did that initial baby boom end? What are the other generations? What are their shared values? What should we call these generations? There's not widespread uniform agreement. So I'm going to list for you my delineation of generations and the names that I give them. I use the following breakdown, beginning with my parents' generation, the GI generation. These are the folks who were born between 1912 and 1924. Followed then by the Cold War generation, births 1925 to 1936. Followed by the Silent generation, 1937 to 1945. Then in 1946, the Baby Boom generation emerges. And I identify this in two groups. The first group being born 1946 to 1957, and the second group 1958 to 1964. Now that second group, which I call Baby Boomers Part 2, is actually Generation X. Generation X is more widely identified with the following generation. But let me digress for a moment and explain to you why this second part of the baby boom generation is Generation X. In 1991, Douglas Coupland published a book, Generation X. Its subtitle was Tales for an Accelerated Culture. Coupland himself was born in 1961, and he was talking about those folks who were born in the late 50s and early 60s as Generation X, that their older siblings, who were part of the initial, the leading edge of the baby boom, had kind of captured the spotlight. And these folks were following in the wake of that generation. They had no clear generational identity, and therefore were Generation X. Now that I've made for you a logical, impassioned argument as to why the second part of the baby boom should be identified as Generation X, I'm going to retreat and say and give in to the common use of the following generation as Generation X. And so we'll just keep with Baby Boomers Part 2, which I'm sure the members of that generation are particularly great at, given their feelings of concern that all they are is identified as the trailing edge of the baby boom. We pick back up in terms of generations now with the baby bust. This is the age group, or this is the generation, that is more commonly referred to as Generation X, people born between 1965 and 1976. My titling is probably not going to win any awards on Madison Avenue with the advertising. They're rather dry, demographically driven titles. After the baby bust comes the baby boom echo, that increasing numbers of births and a larger generation that was born between 1977 and 1991. Then the baby bust echo, the children of the baby bust generation. These are the folks born 1992 to 1999. And then finally, the diversity generation, born since the year 2000. These are the folks who in 2004 are aged 0 to 4. Their membership is not yet complete. But what we do know is that this generation will be more diverse in terms of its ethnic composition than any of the generations that preceded. That's my identification of the various generations, in some cases borrowing from others, other instances coming up with my own. In the next segment, I'm going to present to you the evidence in the demography of generations. So you don't just have to take my word for it on this list, but rather look at the evidence that I have to present. You may be wondering where I came up with this shirt. This tie-dye shirt that I'm wearing is from my college's 30th reunion for the class of 1970. I was a student at the University of Virginia from 1966 to 1970. Certainly that was a period of protest, and tie-dye shirts were widespread on the campus, along with love beads, army fatigue jackets, and other paraphernalia. At that time, not all students shared the same political viewpoints, as members of my class today don't share the same viewpoints. It's reflected in the selection of this shirt. Part of the alumni committee for the 30th reunion wanted to have a very tasteful white golf knit shirt. Another segment of the reunion committee said, hey, we were part of that rebellious group in the late 60s. Let's have a tie-dye shirt to represent that. This is the compromise. A nice, tasteful, collared, knit golf shirt done in tie-dye colors of the university.